Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan, and we're brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murat.
What are you doing? Seriously, what are you doing to protect your family's assets? As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Murat can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com, and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
The Terry McLaurin game of chicken with the Commanders continues. Nobody's blinked yet. When will something happen? That's what we're trying to figure out, and what's that going to be? Let's go to the Rude guest hotline right now. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Pretty stunning. On August 11th, we're still talking about this, and maybe more shocking, there's been really no developments. There has been no progress as we're into week two of the preseason now. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN is one of their top insiders and reporters, and he's been all over this story. Last week had more insight into this than just about anybody else in the game. Jeremy, you're on in D.C. with Grant and Danny on The Fan. Thank you so much. How are you?
Hey, guys. Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. So
absolutely.
Let's just start with where we're at and how that compares to where we were 4 or 6 weeks ago and whether or not anything's changing here.
Well, you really categorized it correctly when you said this is a stare-off, a game of chicken. I think both sides are sort of hoping that one comes closer to the other. I don't sense there's been a lot of major progress. However, I would say there is a hint of optimism in Washington that I've gathered over the last few days. I don't think that's a matter of major progress on a negotiation, but I do sense like, hey, you know, Terry's a guy we want here. We're rebuffing trade calls. They have a difference of opinion in the market, in the receiver market in particular. I think that's the core issue here. But they know that they need him, and they know they have to figure something out here. I think in an ideal world, they would like him to play the final year of his deal and then franchise tag him. But that's not feasible for anybody. That's just simply not going to happen. Would be too clumsy to even try to attempt. And, you know, Terry McLaurin would revolt at that point. So, something has to be done. They just have to find a sweet spot and see if the player is flexible at all here. And you know, so far I don't think that they've found that common ground yet, but that's not to say they can't in the next few weeks.
So, Jeremy, I want to drill down on that. Is it you think the team would prefer this year's deal for Terry, where they've got him at roughly $25 million for a cap hit, then franchise tag next year and then say fare thee well, or would they rather sign him to a 2-year extension for, you know, this season plays on his current deal, then add two more years? Would it be better for them to do a franchise and see you later?
So I think that's relative to what the money is and what the market would be. In an ideal world, like right now, playing him out this year and then a franchise tag would be more beneficial for them. So my sense is that's at least been considered at some point, but that's also not really feasible based on where the market has gone, where the money has gone. It just would be hard to do. So I think that's the team's leverage sometimes is they can float that. You know, it's the same with the Cowboys with Micah Parsons. Hey, look, we have you under contract for 3 years. That just doesn't work as well as it used to. You know, these agents and players have created mechanisms, whether it's trade requests or holding in or withholding services, like they're good at making this difficult without costing themselves money by like true holdouts. So because of that, it would be a hard thing to do. So that leaves, I still think Washington, the reason why I bring that up is because the way they look at things, at least from what I've been told, is originally they were looking at like a slight increase on his current number, which I believe is $23 million. So that's where the gap comes from. I'd mentioned they've had a gap of up to $7 million at one point. I don't know where it is now, but it's because of that dynamic. Like if it's a slight increase from $23 million, you're looking at probably $25. Terry's not going for that. You know, I can't speak for him, but if you're Terry, you're saying I'm a better player than DK Metcalf, who got $32 million. So there's your fundamental difference of the market, and that's hard to get. Or hard to bridge that gulf, and it takes time. And you know, maybe can I do $28 million a year with incentives to get to 30? Would Washington be willing to do that? So it's possible. You know, we have to see it. They haven't shown that yet.
Jeremy Fowler of ESPN's been outstanding on this Terry McLaurin Washington Commanders hold-in situation. We'll get back to the money in a second, but I wanted to double click on something you said, which was. The idea that like the tag is not an option or this year on this deal and then the tag, you know, would be clumsy and Terry revolts. So why can't they do that? I mean, and what does that mean? Like he's got to show up at some point, right? So if they just do nothing and eventually the season starts, I mean, there's no precedent for a guy really holding out. Chris Jones held out for one game and then signed a new 1-year deal a couple years ago, which is kind of a worse contract, honestly, but at least he and his agent got to save face a little bit and say they got a new deal. And then he ended up playing in like week 18 to just hit some incentives to make the same amount of money that year, a matter of fact. But regardless, like when you say they can't do that, go further into that. Why couldn't they?
Well, they absolutely could. It's within their right to do that. And they have, at least on paper, leverage to do that. We could say, hey, look, we can have you under contract for multiple years. So take or leave our current long-term deal. Like they can certainly say that. And I do think it's been reiterated to me multiple times that GM Adam Peters is not at all a pushover. He's willing to play the hardest of hardball. So all that considered, it is an option. I'm just saying it would be really hard to pull that off with a player like this who's, you know, even though you're not paying him for in the past, he's been the consummate pro, good soldier, team leader, very productive, very good player. Like 99.9% of the time, those deals get worked out, right? Even if it's clumsy or it takes to week one or a week long holdout, like you mentioned Chris Jones. So that's all I'm saying. It would be incredibly difficult for Washington to pull that off. Do I believe, based on my reporting and asking around, that they've thought about that and maybe even dangled that? Yes.
You've mentioned the relationship at different points. I know from watching you on ESPN, had gone sour. Like, where is the actual relationship between McLaurin himself and Peters, or McLaurin and ownership at this point? Or is it more a fracture between the agent and the GM? And what can you tell us about that?
Well, I go back to the history of it. I think these can go a couple different ways when you start a negotiation on a big contract. You know, like, you can play the high-low game where the team starts really low, the player goes really high. Sometimes that works. Sometimes that can create fracture, you know, and I'm not saying that's exactly the case here, but my sense is that, you know, both sides have dug in pretty early, and that created just some sort of awkwardness in the relationship. And I don't think it's completely fractured, because all it takes is some good faith conversations and a new deal to offset that. And I think the same thing with Micah Parsons and all these guys, but it was not in a good place. And I don't think there's been a lot of bridging of the gap there. You know, now nobody's better with people as a head coach than Dan Quinn. He's excellent at that. You got Jaden Daniels, who's been supportive of McLaurin. Like, there are some people who can smooth this out and play the good cop to Adam Peters in the front office, bad cop. But it's, I know, like, when I was going into the late summer, going into training camp, it just was simply not good. You know, just the situation and my gauge on it was that there was a long ways to go, and that the player was really frustrated. Somehow he got, you know, whatever message got to him and his perception of the situation, it was hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube, so to speak.
Jeremy Fowler with us here on Grant and Danny. So I want to go to, you sort of referenced this earlier, Jeremy. I want to get back to it. The idea that McLaurin and his camp, there's only so many options they have. And my sort of reading of this is, eventually, and Grant already mentioned this, he's got to play football. Like, he's under contract this year, and if he wants to get the things that he wants, that includes playing football, lest you forego roster bonuses and you know, the time accrued and everything else.
Yeah.
He needs to play football, and that's kind of, I don't think he's got the dynamite under himself, right? Like, in terms of this. So there's only so many things you can do. You can kick and scream, but eventually, don't you have to just come play? And I think the team is kind of sticking by that, where you mentioned it, it's contract this year, franchise tag next year. Why would we go to 33 when we could do that an average of 26 and a half based on this year and next year, right? Like, that to me is kind of the inescapable part of this. Just your thoughts from the agent and player side.
Well, it is, but if the player is willing to make this more difficult and cost himself some of his own money,
right,
by forfeiting games, then he can make this tough. He knows that, you know, the flip side of that is he knows Washington going into the season without him is going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be, you have a team that can win right now, and it's going to be tougher to win games without him. Not that it can't be done, but if Deebo Samuel's your one, and then, you know, some young guys, first or second players, are your two, you know, it's going to be a struggle. It's putting a lot on a quarterback who already had to win really close games last year. So it just becomes complicated at that point. That's his leverage. It just depends on how far he's willing to exercise it and how far he's willing to take it. So far, from all that I've gathered, he's willing to take it as far as he needs to. But you're right. When those checks start to clear for week one, it's hard to forego those. Right now, he's got the cushion of being a hold in. You know, mm-hmm. That changes in about 3 weeks. So luckily for both sides, that is a lot of time to try to figure this out.
Jeremy, are you surprised by either side here, either how dug in McLaurin's been or that the team on their side of it has been so unwavering and unwilling to get closer to $30 million?
A little bit. I'm not necessarily surprised by some of the DK Metcalf comparisons or that Terry might want certain metrics of the Metcalf deal, because he really is a better player than DK Metcalf. The problem is the Steelers traded for DK Metcalf. Metcalf is a lot younger, at least 3 years younger, I believe. And he had a lot of leverage to do that deal to facilitate that trade. He needed a new contract. It is a different situation with Terry's age and being with the same team. And you could argue DK Metcalf's a little more of an exotic option. He maybe scares defenses a little more with his athletic ability, even though Terry's clearly a better wide receiver. So to say that he wants the DK deal, I guess it's mildly surprising, but it's not a bad place to start. Like, you can justify it. I'm a little more surprised on the team side that they had drawn such a hard line. I thought they would be a little more flexible in this, given his importance and the wide receiver market being where it is, where you got Brandon Ayuk making $30 million a year. You know, he's not even in the same conversation as Terry McLaurin. So that's why he feels disrespected. That's why feelings are hurt. It's that. But, you know, like, Washington feels pretty convicted that, like, we have a lot of players we have to pay over time. Your age is a factor. And that market's crazy. We don't want to acknowledge it. You know, it's just, it's complicated. And so you have two sides that are pretty dug in. I'm slightly surprised this is the way it goes. But I have heard this about Josh Harris's new ownership. Like, he's not eager to just throw money around and give guys whatever they want. I do think it's sort of the new sheriff in town mentality a little bit. And it's an ownership conversation a little bit.
ESPN senior NFL reporter Jeremy Fowler with us here on GND. How much did the Courtland Sutton deal inform this conversation? He's a better player than Sutton, been more productive for longer, but that was kind of the low end that maybe the team could argue. The high end might be the Metcalf deal, the kind of that you're talking about, or maybe even beyond that from what we've heard. So was that kind of a data point where the team could look and go, see?
Maybe. I'm sure McLaurin wasn't crazy about that deal,
yeah.
But like you said, it's different weight classes, so, you know, Courtland Sutton's a different conversation. But to me, it might be a positive where you could say, or maybe Washington could say, hey, we'll split the difference between DK and Courtland, and we'll put some incentives in there to get you to 30. That to me is the cleanest way to do it. You can make it look good on paper. I don't know, though. It seems like, you know, with some of the feelings that can get hurt in these, that I don't know that he would take that or not at this point. So, but I do go back to, I do sense from Washington's side, like they want to do right by him. They are rebuffing trade calls. I feel pretty confident saying that from all that I've gathered. And I think at least one team has looked heavily into it.
Jeremy, we'll let you out of here on this. I just want to look ahead to how this could end. What do you think would be, and I know it's a guess, so I'm not asking for an exact number here, but what would you guess, like what would you say is a percentage chance that he actually isn't on the team for week one, that he's holding out still come week one? Do you think that's a legitimate possibility?
I'd put it at 20%, I'd say. You know, I still think there's a little bit of a chance where whatever disrespect he's felt, you know, fuels him to dig in even more. That's a big decision. Most players don't take that route, so I'd be surprised, but I'll put 20% on it.
And then lastly, would you think a long-term deal is more possible still than him playing on this deal? Or maybe I would even throw out there the idea of like the Chris Jones one-year deal to rework this year to make more cash maybe this year. What's the most likely outcome between now and the season, assuming he does show up?
Yeah, it'd be harder to do a one-year deal, I think, because then you're back at the table next year. And Chris Jones being a defensive tackle at a position where he could probably age a little bit better for all the running you have to do at receiver. I'm not saying Terry can't age well, but I think it's a different conversation based on the position. If you're him, you want multiple years right now. So I think a Band-Aid like that would be tough. I still think that they can work something out. I think there's a path to working it out where he's under contract long-term again. I still think that's more likely than not. They just have a lot of work to do.
Jeremy, great info, great reporting, man. Appreciate the time with us.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Thanks a ton. We'll watch you on ESPN. There's Jeremy Fowler, their ESPN insider and analyst on all things NFL news. He's had a lot of great content, a lot of info on Terry McLaurin and on what his agent's looking for over these last few weeks. But you heard him say there, he thinks there's a 20% chance that Terry McLaurin holds out and misses week one. 20% is a lot different
than bigger than nothing.
The Terry-o-meter behind us that the junkies are using, where it looks like they're 95% sure he's showing back up. What's your guys' reaction to that? We'll open up the phones next. 800-636-1067. We're Grant and Danny.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
They know that they need him, and they know they have to figure something out here. I think in an ideal world, they would like him to play the final year of his deal and then franchise tag him, but that's not feasible for anybody. That's just simply not going to happen. Would be too clumsy to even try to attempt. And, you know, Terry McLaurin would revolt at that point. So, something has to be done. They just have to find a sweet spot and see if the player is flexible at all here. And you know, so far I don't think that they've found that common ground yet, but that's not to say they can't in the next few weeks.
That's Jeremy Fowler of ESPN was with us last segment on Grant and Danny. If you missed any part of that interview, our conversation with him, you can podcast it when we're done at thefandc.com. We're taking you up to 6:30, full hour to go on Grant and Danny today because the Nats are in Kansas City. So they start in the 8 o'clock hour D.C. time, which means we've got a full 4.5 for you. But reacting to Jeremy Fowler, what was your big takeaway from a reporter who seems to be as plugged in as anybody on what's going on, certainly on the agent side?
Well, I kind of couldn't get over when he said the team would prefer, or I don't want to butcher the quote, but it might be better for them if they just went, you play this year in your contract and franchise you and then wash your hands clean. What? Like, I think they want I thought all along they've wanted a long-term deal just on their terms. But that makes it sound like we'll have you for this year, which we already do, and one more season, and then, yeah, probably thanks so much.
Well, if they're offering him around $25 million per year, that means that the two-year deal at close to $55 million, if they were to let him play this year and then tag him, is better than what they would do, which is 2-50 after this season.
Yeah.
So why would it be that surprising that they would rather do it with the tag?
That they don't want him on, they don't want a deal. They'd rather just say, we'll do a franchise tag. Like that. I thought that was surprising. No, I thought all along they just want an extension on top of this year. Cause they want to keep this year as this year. Cause that makes financial sense to them.
I don't think they're acting like they want much of an extension. You said it right, on their terms,
right.
But their terms are unreasonable. You know, his report as of last week, and I'm sure you saw this, but while you were out, was that they're still basically offering him around $24 to $25 million is what he said on TV. Roughly the same money, AAV, that he was just making on his deal before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he signed that deal 3 years ago. The cap has gone up $70 million since they offered him that deal. So just as a comp, 11.5% of the salary cap is what he got on his deal last time. If you were just to say, we're not going to give you a raise, but 11.5% of our current payroll is now, fill in the blank, it's $30 million. So they're offering him $5 million less than that. That would be like Danny doing a, you know, a more important show, but getting a worse contract to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't be that excited about that. So when you hear that that's what they're arguing, or I guess that's their side of it, yeah, I think that the tag is their way to have him for multiple years. They think he's old, he's aging, that he's going to fall off after a couple seasons, and the tag gives them the ability to have him for two more years, this year and next year. I think that's probably their goal. I think if they didn't have a problem having him for three more years, then maybe we wouldn't be having the huge dispute or debate. I don't know. I guess maybe I'm overreacting to the idea. I'm not surprised, but I'm just reading their actions. Their actions are,
sure,
they have offered him nothing close to what everybody seems to think is the amount that he should be getting, which is the 28 to 30 range. Now, we also don't know what what they've actually offered. I always come back to that caveat. Yep. We're just basing this on what Jeremy Fowler's reporting, and he's obviously probably not talking to Adam Peters. But I think most people think a floor of 27 and a ceiling of about 30 is where this thing should end. And his suggestion is that as of now, the team's at 25, and the agent started at 33.
So, yeah, we don't know. I know specifically, pointing to myself, I don't know. Maybe I don't know, maybe more than anyone else, if that's even possible.
I don't think anybody knows.
Yeah. So the way the sense that I have, again, based on not knowing, just doing our best to interpret, is they've stood fast, talking about the team, in that mid-20s range because the agent, I think, has overshot. I think because I still remember that one report where it's way over DK Metcalf. I forget who had it. I was trying to look it up just now while you were talking.
He said substantially more.
Right.
I've never believed that for a second, but that's what he said.
But I don't know if that means 100,000 more or 2 million more or five. I don't know what substantially is, but more than DK Metcalf. And I think if that's your range, I can't start budging up because I'll get to a place that's totally crazy to me. So to me, this is like nobody's the good guy here. When it comes to this, put aside Terry's character, I just mean in terms of this negotiation with the agent and the team, like I get the sense that if they're still at 25, it means that he, talking about Buddy Baker, is still at 35. And I'm wondering if that's what's happening. Again, I'm just trying to read the tea leaves and figure out why we're still here.
Yeah. I've never heard 35. I don't think they're at 35. That wouldn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, it's possible they came in there 3 months ago or something. I have no idea. But the DK Metcalf contract has long been what I was told to look at in terms of guarantees and AAV, which is down around 32 and change and at 60 million in guarantees, which seems to me pretty reasonable. In a world where Brandon Ayuk makes 30 and McLaurin is better than Metcalf. Now the age is the problem. He's 2 years older. And I feel like we talk about this every day forever, so we're going to repeat ourselves some. But I feel like I always have to start with this. I think the team is probably closer to being spot on because of his age with like what the going rate is. If you just take out the name and the import to the organization and kind of any emotions and you just punch a bunch of stuff into a computer based on his age, when Mike Evans got, I think it was like $25 million a year. He got like $20 million, I think, a couple of times over. And then Cortland Sutton gets $23 million. Like, it's going to be really hard to get to 33. My point is just, I think we're having the wrong conversation when we debate that. Who's more right? Who's more wrong? What should he be making? I think, for me, what I come back to is, I can't believe they've chosen to do this. It is not necessary to do this. It is wild to me that they have elected this road, that we're this bumpy, awful path that we're boom, 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 boom going down right now. There was another path where maybe you overpay him by a little bit and then you don't deal with this. And the first couple of years, it's not that big of a deal, by the way. Like, you're out of this Terry McLaurin contract before the Jaden money kicks in as it is. And if you do the contract right, you're mostly paying him for the two seasons after this, which it's hard to fathom that he's going to fall off that massively at risk of maybe having 1 year where you significantly overpay and he catches like 68 balls for 851 yards or something if he just becomes a shell of himself in 2 years. And then you're pretty much out of the guaranteed money. You might have $5, $7, $10 million guaranteed after that when the salary cap is close to, I don't know, $310 million or something crazy. So I'm just shocked that they have chosen, as the oldest organization in the NFL, that gave money to 20 guys that are already 30 or will be 30 this year, that this was the time they couldn't fathom dealing with a player with age, with this player. I'm just stunned that we're here and that we're still talking about this.
Yeah, we are.
And they've brought it on themselves. Kevin's in Arlington. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. So there's a couple points that don't come out in Fowler's reporting. His in-depth reporting is so good, no doubt, because Buddy Baker's given him everything he needs. Okay, so he's not going to throw Buddy Baker under the bus. And also, a lot of the commentary is from former players who are now analysts saying, you know, we can't believe this. A couple other things. Debo is only making $17.5 million this year. He's 29 like Terry. It's his last year, too. The other thing is, Terry waited 6 years to get a quarterback like Jaden. Now he's got Jaden. Do you think he really wants to be traded away from Jaden and a chance to compete for a Super Bowl? I mean, I just think it's an imbalanced conversation that's happening among the fans.
Well, I got a couple questions because I think it's actually a really good point. But number one, you mentioned Debo. I'm assuming you brought him up as if to say he also right now could say he's underpaid and hold out. Is that kind of your point?
Yeah.
Well, he's coming off of a terrible year.
17-5.
Yeah, he didn't have a career year last year. He had a terrible year.
Yeah, but he's had career years before.
Sure, but not over the last couple.
Super Bowl before. He's been a very explosive player before.
Right, but he's on a multi-year decline right now where you got to go back three seasons basically to find those years. McLaurin's coming off of his best season in the NFL, arguably.
But it's still a $7.5 million gap between 17.5 and 25.
Sure, but if Debo was on the open market this year and signed a one-year deal, he'd be hard-pressed to get that with the current narrative around him that he's not in shape, that he's injury-prone. I mean, he had a really, really bad statistical year, not necessarily in terms of counting stats. Like, I don't know if you heard Matt Harmon on with us the other day from Reception Perception, but in terms of the analytics and separation and all of these things, it was brutal. So he's on a reclamation campaign this year to try to get paid to prove that he's actually still got something left.
Fair enough. But the only other point, it's not just Terry's contract. Because, okay, we talk about the rookie quarterback deal, but there are 52 other contracts. I mean, it's three-dimensional chess to think about. What all do we need in future free agency to retain going forward, et cetera? I mean, again, we were left with a bare cupboard. We overshoot ourselves with a great first year with Daniels, and all of a sudden, and I think this showed up in New England. When you bench your 30 best players,
every team deals with that.
A lot to compete.
Every team deals with that every year, right? And you don't see this. I have not seen a face of a franchise be in this situation in the recent NFL.
I understand that, but I'm trying to say, if you look at the quality of the roster, okay, we are so bad. What has happened on day three picks drafted in years one and two with Adam Peters? Then on top of that, coming on the 4 years of the Martys and Ron, we are cupboard bare. And so maybe they just can't go stretch further with Terry because they're seeing
that's fine. Kevin, that's fine. Then the point is then they shouldn't pay Terry McLaurin, I guess. But I'm not saying otherwise. I'm just saying it's crazy that we're here is kind of the point.
It's unfortunate, I agree, but it's a really unusual situation.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean,
like if he was 27, this would be done. It would be much easier to figure out. But he's not, and so it's not. Like I don't know. I've got empathy is the wrong word. I feel like I have more understanding for the team's side of it, maybe than some do. I understand where Terry McLaurin's coming from too. Like the fact that they can't agree on what the relevant data points are, the same way we can't agree, not you and me, but everybody in general in the fan base and media trying to understand this thing. They go, yeah, DK Metcalf, yeah, 30 years old, yeah, Cortland Sutton. Well, no, and nobody's talking the same language here. They can't agree with even the discussion is, and that's why I think they're still this far apart.
Yeah, I for me, it's really two things, right? One is trying to figure out what he's worth, who's right, who's wrong, where the money should be. That's its own conversation.
Yeah,
and I think it's the whole point. I mean,
point is separate, and I think it's valid too.
My second point is, and I can't not have this conversation. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I'm spinning two plates. Like I'm sitting here telling you, I wouldn't pay him $33 million. Right. Probably, I wouldn't want to anyway. I might have already just to end this charade. But the second point that I can't understand people not understanding this, mm-hmm. is that they have chosen to do this with the face of their franchise. It's weird, man. Yeah. That's a weird thing to do. When everything's going well, when everything's harmonious, we've dreamed about this for years and years and years, and people act like they'd be giving him $50 million a year, like this unbelievable overpay where now you can't operate, you can't pay Laremy Tunsil, you can't pay Frankie Louvu. I mean, God forbid you can't go out and sign more 34-year-olds on one-year contracts next year. How are they ever going to field a team? You have a quarterback making no money. This will not intertwine with the Jaden Daniels contract. And, by the way, Daniels' development is the only thing really that matters. Doing best by the quarterback. We've been saying this since day one. Trade for Laremy Tunsil? Absolutely. Draft a tackle at right tackle in the first round? Go for it. Like, they've understood the assignment here every step of the way. But now you might go into the season with Noah Brown and Luke McCaffrey and with Debo in motion. Like, what are you doing? They've chosen to do this. So what he's worth is a different discussion. My point is, just, everyone's just like acting as though this is Deebo Samuel coming over here and holding out after a trade. It's not. It's just not the same thing. 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters, and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks much for making the show part of your day. Jeremy Fowler was on at 5. If you missed the ESPN Insider, who's had all the intel on Terry McLaurin, make sure you podcast it at thefandc.com. Speaking of podcasts, a brand new Bustin' Loose Baseball dropped. That is the hit Nationals podcast produced by Darius Dairman, starring Toby Altizer. A one-on-one interview with Cade Cavalli.
Oh, hello there.
He pitches tonight. So if you are interested in the Nats, you may want to check out Bustin' Loose Baseball when we are done. The question on the table for you guys out of Fowler, really we're just chewing on the McLaurin overall standoff. But I guess, where did we leave it? Like, what is the question we should throw out there for people? Because our disagreement might be over, you know, for me, maybe it doesn't matter, but I just can't get past this is a self-inflicted wound.
The team is doing this with this guy.
Are we sure this is the best way to be going about the preseason going into the year where you have the best chance to be really, really good that you've had in a long, long time? They could have just solved this. And I think, you know, when we talk about overpaying McLaurin, you know, we're talking about a handful of million dollars with a salary cap that's well over $200 million that's exploded by $70 million over the last 3 years that'll go up again massively soon. the juice here is not worth the squeeze to me to get the best deal. I'm sorry. It just is not. Most of the time, I would say, you got to win the deal. You don't have to win every deal. This is not a deal to me that you have to win, Danny. It just isn't.
Which I get. I mean, I don't know. There's so many layers to it. It's so complicated no matter what. The data points are hard to agree with. But the most, or hard to agree to, rather, in terms of the baseline terms. But this is the special player, right? Like, and one of the arguments that I've, that makes sense to me is that, well, in 2 years, won't Mikey Sandra still be one of the special players? Doesn't Frankie Louvu have that same tag now that he puts in a couple more years of deposit? And the next guy that they drafted that plays well, he'll have the tag too. You can't be in the business of overpaying all the time. And if you're able to draw the line after this one, okay, but you don't want to make a habit of doing it, right? And I think they're taking a hard line stance.
I don't think anyone should advocate for making a habit of doing it. I take issue with that reasoning because it's... there's probably some business term for this that I don't know, but it's strawmanny. Like the idea of it is smart. We all know it, this is like porn looking at it, right? Mm-hmm. What was the ruling in
Sandra Day O'Connor? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know it when you see it. We all kind of get that Terry McLaurin's different. Like, let's just acknowledge that part. Daron Payne, there's not another guy on this team that is in the same boat. So let's not pretend like there is. But also, I'm not saying give him a blank check. Like the fans that are doing the pay Terry, just pay him. He's earned it. That's not it either for me. Mm-hmm. I think there is a truth that is in the middle. And I find myself arguing with everybody kind of.
Yeah, that's my specialty.
You know, the McLaurin side of it where it's like, you just got to pay this guy. He's your most popular player and he's so important and he's been so good and he's a nice person. Well, no, that's not really how football works. And then the team people that are going, he is worth $23.7 million. Cortland Sutton got 23.5. He is 30. It is not a smart thing to pay a guy going into year 31. Like, that is ridiculous, too. Stop acting like that this isn't about people. And then it's the same to just, well, he's got to be on the team. He's got to show up. I don't have to do anything. He's just going to walk through the door and play football for me. As if that's the same as the most important player in your wide receiver room and the leader and the heartbeat and the heart and soul of your team being happy to be there. Being one of the guys just kicking it in this, you tell me all the time about culture. I don't scream about culture. You scream about culture.
Mm.
You're Mr. Culture. Mr. Culture, 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 culture. Culture this, culture that, culture you, culture me, culture them, culture them. I'm not Mr. Culture. You're Mr. Culture. Worry about your culture. Is it a good culture that your most important fan favorite player hates being at work? Is that a good culture? Culture yourself. You culture every now and then, culture. You know, well, culture, culture you.
Make sense of culture.
Culture you, culture. You know what I'm saying?
So, I do.
Mr. Culture, be a culture guy.
Uh-huh.
So let's just acknowledge that this was a thing that they decided to do. If you're okay with it, cool. I don't think it was the smartest way to play the last few weeks.
Which I think is fair. Again, the thing that we don't know that I keep holding out an empty space for is what is the agent doing? Right? Because the team is silent. They're not telling anybody anything. And I think they'd actually be better served doing something at some point here. Right? Because I don't know if the asks from the agent is outrageous. You know what I mean? We're hearing about how awful the team is. They're terrible to deal with.
But we have a lot of reporting on it.
From the team side?
No, from the agent side.
Yeah, the agent's letting you know.
But they're the same people telling us about the team side, I would think.
I don't know. How
many national reporters have to come out and say he's looking for DK Metcalf money before you believe that he's looking for DK Metcalf money?
But, okay, but again, that's the... I know. I still think that's the agent perspective. Like, is he looking for DK Metcalf?
He's actually looking for more.
I don't know. And that's my point. I'm holding the open space for this agent who has no other high profile clients.
But you're
and this
assuming
is just
that
one
the numbers are
ticket.
Right on the team, right? On the team side.
My point is the only thing we know is from the agent. And that.
Right.
I think
some of the Schefter stuff is from the team.
Maybe.
I mean, Schefter came out and said substantially more than
DK.
That even he has argued with at times, mm-hmm. like that everyone else has said. That didn't come from the agent. I mean that was anti-Terry.
Right. So if that's the one team data point, then well, that's a different eye line than the team is so unreasonable. They're the bad guy here. This is an agent that doesn't have any other high profile clients that to me maybe have given bad advice and maybe he's over his skis and is telling him, cut a promo for 45 minutes at Eastern Motors and demand a trade when there's no media assembled. Like to me, that I'm holding space for this guy not really being with it. And he may be the problem.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like
sure. I can hold that space and still hold the team to task. Like I don't,
which is fair.
It can be both, right? Like I think the agent is absolutely not acknowledging enough that the age should be hurting him. Mm-hmm. And you've seen Evans's contract, and you've seen Cortland Sutton's contract, but also again, secondary conversation. Right. I can't believe this is worth it to the team. I cannot believe them being right, them saving $4 million a year, if that's what it is. You know, that's probably about where we're at this point.
Right.
This, it's worth it to this? That Terry McLaurin makes $4 million less? Like, not for me, man. I'm sorry.
Which I totally get, by the way. And again, the thing that, here's what I don't know. Had they offered the compromise number, would that have been accepted? I don't know that. We think so because it's reasonable. It's reasonable to us to go, it'll sell it around 28 and a half or 29 and with the guaranteed money that's more than DK but less than this. Do we know that Buddy Baker would have said, yep, let's sign on the dotted line? We don't know.
But we also have not heard that they've offered that.
Correct.
And if you were the team and you'd offer that, I bet we would have heard that.
That's fair, too.
There's no reason that Adam Schefter, who they leak things to or whoever, mm-hmm. wouldn't have put out there. You know, the team has offered him $29 million, and he said no. The second he turns down an offer like that, I'll bet you it's going to be talked about by Adam Schefter,
probably
I
right.
would bet.
Yeah.
Robert Hayes kind of made my point. You know, again, it sounds like I'm more on the player side than the team. Depending on the day and the hour you listen, you'll hear what you want to hear.
Right.
I both think that he shouldn't be making more than probably $28, $29 million a year, and that this is not worth it. But Robert Mays, excuse me, from The Athletic, who we had on last week, does a good podcast. I was listening over the weekend, and he made the point I've been trying to make for a few days now, better than I've been able to make it. This is what a national guy looking from the outside said.
Often with these, I feel like we look at it and one side, I think, has a stronger argument than the other. And I do think in this case, it is Terry's side for a few different reasons. One, he has been that good soldier for so long in a terrible situation. We were talking about it as kind of the impasse really blew up last week. And you know, Bill Barnwell tweeted out a picture of all the quarterbacks that Terry has played with. And you look at the list of those guys, and he is still ninth in receiving yards since he came into the league. Like, how productive he's been given the situation is remarkable. And he has been like the ideal teammate and ambassador for your organization. But at the same time, he is going to be 30. And so I think when we look at contracts at the position, the ones that have been thrown out that are kind of analogous and the one that I think is kind of problematic for Terry at this stage is like what Courtland Sutton signed for a couple weeks ago. And that's Courtland Sutton, same age as Terry McLaurin and has not been as productive, but had a really nice season last year. He signs for a deal that's like $23 million a year. That sucks for Terry McLaurin's camp. But the one that I feel like is almost a better comparison when you think about how good of a part of the organization you've been, what sort of locker room presence. The one that Mike Evans signed a couple years ago is also problematic for Terry McLaurin. And that's a deal that even though Mike Evans, I think, was a year older when he signed that contract, it was a two-year, $40 million deal. And so there are a lot of data points on that side that I think hurt Terry's case. But he's been more productive than Courtland Sutton has. And even though he's a little bit older than DK Metcalf, the what I've kind of taken from this, and if you're reading between the lines a little bit, the $33 million a year, I don't think he needs. And if you look at the Metcalf deal, the last year of the Metcalf deal is $41.5 million, which kind of pumps up that AAV. But I think the important point about the Metcalf contract is it's $60 million guaranteed. And it's $60 million guaranteed in those first 2 years. So if I'm Terry, I think that's probably the number that matters the most. Even if it's $29 million a year, can you get to that $60 million guaranteed over those first 2 years? And even though I know you're stretching yourself a little bit to give that sort of contract to a player that's going to be turning 30. I just don't know what Washington's alternative is at this point. Like, you look at that receiver room and you look at the timeline that you're currently on, and I just feel like for both locker room harmony and for what you're trying to accomplish this year and next, just bite the bullet. Like, you don't have to win this negotiation. You aren't paying that many guys. So I don't know. This line in the sand that they seem to have drawn in this, it feels a little bit misguided given how well everything went last year. And I'm just curious how much they're willing to back off that to make sure we reach the right resolution for what this team is and what they're trying to do in 25 and 26.
I think that's perfectly stated. That's home base for me. I'll just have that audio recording and walk around with it. It's Robert Mays of The Athletic on his show that he did this weekend. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.